You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present the Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Health Hub. I'm Kathy Biasi, your host, and along with Alex Diaz and Daniel Tersini, we would like to welcome you to our show today. Today's show is live. Our number is 416-245-1534. You can reach us on our social media sites, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and we are at the Health Hub RMC, or please feel free to email us at thh@radiomaria.ca. Oh, excuse me. Good morning, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm keeping as well as I can at the moment.
Still trying to get over your
cold. Still trying to get over the cold, but I'm using your inspiration. I know you've done a couple of shows where you haven't felt so well, so I thought I'd give it a kick at the can.
I've got a frog in my throat now.
Sorry, I'm passing it through the window, am I?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay,
I've been trying to fight it off. It's actually come around our family twice.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, it's a lingering one, although my kids and my husband have a cough, and you don't have a cough?
Not yet, anyway.
No, hopefully that doesn't happen. I was listening to the news and they're saying that the flu is a strain of the H1N1, they're saying. So I don't know if you've got a flu or a cold, but I hope you feel better.
I hope so too.
Mm-hmm. This is your first time on the air in 2019. Do you miss it?
Yeah, you know, this feels really, I feel a little bit, I don't know what the word is.
Discombobulated?
Yeah. But you know, it's really good to be alive again and back on the air with you.
Yeah, I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you.
So you can, everybody, subscribe to our podcast. As you know, all of our shows get turned over into podcast format, and we are the Health Hub. We are on iTunes, we are on SoundCloud, and all your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also find all of our podcasts on the Radio Maria Canada website, which is www.radiomaria.ca, and on my website, which is www.kathybiasse.com. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a comment. It's great to promote the show and the wonderful guests that we have on. Our first live show last week was with Lacey Dunn, busting nutritional myths, and that is up and ready for you to listen to. It was a really interesting show, I thought. A lot of good information in that. She comes from a science background, so she really puts all of her stock in what she researches. So very good. I found that to be a very good show.
It was. It was.
Yeah, she's a nice lady for sure. Over the holiday, I don't know if you guys are Netflix fanatics, but I'm not a fanatic. It takes me a while to find a good show, and I actually was watching The Good Wife. I like lawyer shows, and that ended.
Yeah, me too. I like investigative.
Investigative. Well, the Good Wife actually ended a season. I thought I was going to see the whole thing, but there's still one season apparently that I haven't watched. So I was trying to flutter around to see what I could watch because we were up north, and it was that's when I was sort of battling my cold. So I was just sort of nestled in, and I came upon, I don't know if you have heard of her, but Marie Kondo.
No, I haven't.
A tiny little Japanese lady. She doesn't speak much English, but she is the queen of tidying and decluttering. And now, I mean, she has a book, and it's a huge success. And so I was watching the show, this tiny little lady go into these homes that were just unbelievable, but got me a lot of inspiration. So
it's a good way to start the year.
Well, it's, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she actually does is when you're going through clothes, which is always difficult, is you pick up each garment of clothes and you ask if it brings you joy. And if it doesn't bring you joy, you thank it and get rid of it. So, to a lesser extent, I have been starting to do that. We've done a lot of cleaning in our house, but just it's really quite it's comical in some ways, but it's actually quite interesting to go and look at your clothes and go, I actually really don't even like that. I don't know why I have it, and get rid of it. So I like that show. It's a declutter show. It's just something new that I found on Netflix, and I thought I'd tell you about it because I just found it kind of interesting.
Thanks.
No problem at all. So what I want to talk to you about before we get into the nuts and bolts of our show is a concept that's making its way, or has made its way, from Denmark to us. And this concept is especially meaningful during our cold winter months. And actually, you know, I haven't found winter to be too bad this year, but it's sort of a nestling idea. And the concept is called hygge. And I'm hoping I'm saying that right. I've been to a couple of sites and I've asked for the pronunciation, and it's hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. So I'm not Danish, so I don't know why the spelling is that way. But anyways, it's called hygge. And it's a concept that is hard, apparently, to translate into one word. But it's a concept of trying to nestle and feel cozy and get well-being through simple things in life. And it's an obsession, I guess, with this lifestyle that's sort of taken over Denmark. And actually, if you look at statistics, Denmark is one of the happiest nations in the world. So this concept really has taken hold there and finding, as I said, its way to us. Hygge has been a part, just a little bit of history, it's been a part of the Danish culture since the early 1800s, when the word first appeared in the written language, and it's derived from the Norwegian word for well-being. And hygge, as I mentioned, is all about keeping things simple. But it also encourages people to live a little, to say yes to things, not to be in that restrictive mode, have a piece of cake maybe or a cookie at the end of the day. And again, it's especially useful during the winter time when, you know, it is so nice to sit and cozy by a fire, turn the candles on. And what I find sort of nice about the whole concept, it's trying to create this environment for you where you feel at home, a place that you want to get to, you know, slip into a warm bath with lavender and bubbles on a cold Saturday afternoon. And this practice, as I mentioned, is, you know, it can take it into the summer months, but right around this time of year, and we were trying to do this up north, actually, slip into our jammies in front of the fire and the socks, and it's in our socks. And it was really, really nice when you actually sort of focus in on trying to become relaxed and comfortable and strip away all the unnecessary things in life. So I just wanted to, you know, with a little bit of background on that, give you a couple of items and things that you can do in your own environment right now to sort of create that sense of well-being and hygge, as it's called. And there are also lots of books out on the internet if you want to delve deeper into this concept. Candles are a number one on top of the list. Setting the mood for candles, turning the lights down, just the ambiance of that light is soothing and relaxing, especially after, you know, a day at work. You can come in when we're losing light or we don't have a lot of lights. The candles really set a nice mood, and try to make them soy. Okay, we want good healthy candles. And if you have a scent with your candle, that just even adds another layer. Adding textures to your environment, so nice pillows or wonderful blankets, a cozy sweater. You know, it's very nice if you have the aura of candles and a cozy blanket and you're sitting in front of a nice fire. You can just almost imagine how nice that would be on a cold winter day. And finally, adding just small things that make you happy. This is all about creating an environment that's personal to you, that makes you happy and really glad to be at home or where you are. So small things, adding pictures to the walls is something that you can implement to create this sense of hygge in your home. Creating a nice drink for yourself, not neglecting that glass of wine that you're feeling guilty about. Indulging in little wee things. A nice bouquet of flowers, especially in the winter months when flowers are not here in Canada anyways, flowers aren't really in bloom. Having a nice fresh flowers cut and set on the table. All these things help you to create this well-being, this sense of hygge. So I'm not sure if many of you know this, so I thought I would bring this to your attention. Really is a nice thing to do for yourself in the new year. So on to our guest. Our guest is David Sandoval. I've been looking forward to this. We've planned this for quite a while with David. He's a very, very busy man. He's Purim's co-founder and visionary, and he has made it his life's mission to change the world for the better, from nutrition to environment to domestic violence and poverty. David has advocated on behalf of many causes. He's invited people into his home to personally help them get healthy, lose weight, or achieve their goals. And through his mentorship program, he has inspired all kinds of people, including celebrities, to get out into the world and make a difference. Dave founded Purim in post-riot Long Beach with Gandhi's philosophy, "Be the change you wish to see in the world." And amongst all this knowledge that David has, what we are going to focus on initially in the show, and then we will get into the other wonderful things that he does, but we're going to pull apart supplements and really get his expertise on the area of supplementation. Things that we will cover are: what should we look for in a good supplement? Excuse me. How do we recognize the bad in supplements? And do we actually need supplements if we're eating a healthy diet? So we will be back in a few minutes.
Nothing can take your place. You are all we need.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, The Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live today. Our number is 416-245-1534. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at The Health Hub RMC, and you can email us at thh@radiomaria.ca. And thank you for your questions in advance, and we'll do our best to get to them. Now, on to you, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you quite well. I know you're in the car, are you? But it's coming through loud and clear.
I am.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I know you're so busy, and I'm really looking forward to getting into supplements, but as well as all the other great things that you're doing. So let's start off with the topic that people are interested in today. We're going to talk about supplements, but how did you get to where you are? What is your story? What's your journey been?
You know, thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on the show. Love Canada, by the way. I understand that you have a lot of listeners up there.
We do.
And all around from BC all the way over to Toronto. And love me some Lacombe, Alberta, Canada, which is a little town that some of my friends live in. Anyway.
Nice shout out there.
Yeah. So anyway, I love what you were saying. I've lived in Norway. I've lived in Norway for a while and very familiar with the whole nesting concept, and it was just beautiful to hear you talking about it yesterday. I live in the mountains. We're in the middle of a winter snow warning. We had candles lit. We had the fireplace. We had my fiance had her onesie on, and we were eating simple food, taking naps and, doing some deep cleaning, since we were stuck indoors. And it was a good thing, and it was really a beautiful, simple, wonderful day. And so thank you for invoking that and reminding people how important the most simple things are, and that our pursuit of complexity and of being busy is really counterproductive to our overall wellness, and that stress in and of itself is an enemy. Mm-hmm. And to de-stress your life and simplify your life and be happy with less is actually one of the keys to longevity and to mental wellness.
It sure is. I totally agree. And I think maybe because our kids are leaving the house, we're really trying to strip down. And it's cathartic, actually.
It is. But not to have avoided your question, I just want to reach back and verify to your listeners how important what your earlier point was. And
I appreciate
thank you again
that.
For that. And as for my personal journey, I'll give you the fast version without getting into the weeds. As a young man, my family was poor. I found myself in a unhealthy situation, not to disparage my parents, just to say it was not the healthiest of situations. I was asked to leave the house at a young age as well, 16, where I was then living in the streets, and got a message from my auntie that she'd let me live with her. I went to her home and experienced true love, just amazing familial, caring and all of that. I had my own bedroom. I had a car to drive. I had food to eat, which was the first time in my life that I had food to eat when I wanted it. And it was amazing. And then she died. Oh. And she died of multiple sclerosis brought about by an erosion of her myelin sheath of her nerve endings that was exacerbated by fast food, by Diet Cokes, by microwaves, by plastics, by cigarettes, by preservatives and the sausages and salamis and stuff that she loved to eat, the preserved meats. And the doctors, the specialists said that's ultimately what killed her was the food, not the disease. Mm-hmm. The food caused and triggered the disease in her body. And it was at a very young age that I realized that A, love really existed. B, disease could happen to the most amazing people, and that food could kill you. And so while I found myself in the streets again, I was a new person. I had learned things I didn't know before, and I actually began to thrive, and I wasn't in the streets for much longer. And so it's been written in Inc. magazine, a financial magazine, about my rise from homelessness to CEO of a multi-million dollar multinational company, which sounds really impressive. But all it really means is I picked myself up, and I learned that I could not only help myself, I could help others who need a little help picking themselves up as well.
Well, don't lessen your accomplishments, David, for sure. I mean, it is a fantastic story. Now,
if it inspires others, I'll take it.
You have inspired others. I think it's apparent by the number of followers you have, the conversations that you've had with people, and just what you're doing in your life. Now, you met Anne Wigmore, is that correct? Is she someone that has inspired you, that did inspire you?
Yeah, you know, when you're searching for answers, you start to read. And I must have read, 200 books on nutrition, most of which were self-serving, narcissistic, misguided, and really not worth the paper they were written on. Although there were some simple truths in each, so I'll give you that. But when I read Anne Wigmore's book, she spoke so simply about, our physiology, our metabolism. She spoke of the way that food interacted with soil and with sunlight and with air and with water, and how we were made up and we interacted with the soil and sunlight and air and water and food. And it all just made so much sense. It was, when you hear the truth, you know it. And so I was lucky to have learned from Anne Wigmore and, Bernard Jensen and Paul Bragg and Dr. Christopher and, Hanna Kroger and, and also from a lot of science books. And I put together those two things, the minds of brilliant scientists and the ancient knowledge of Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, shamanic medicine. I studied 12 ancient cultures, each with a profound history of healing, with food. And I realized that knowledge, that wisdom, that power had been lost, had been hidden, had been changed into a chemical pharmaceutical infrastructure that was so disassociated from the earth and from the energy of the sun and of water and of earth, and that it frightened me. It frightened me so much that I dedicated my entire life to being that Paul Revere, riding through the town saying there's danger and we've got to do something about it.
So obviously, from what you're saying, your passion is food. Now, from food, we've got into the supplement area of health. So I want to sort of lay the path down for what's gone on between being able to nourish and heal ourselves with food and the growth of supplements on the other side of the table.
Well, I'm not that into supplements. I'm into food. I just happen to have the most futuristic, incredible superfoods. I've scoured the planet for those foods that are not typically available to people, and I put them in a form that makes them highly available at a ridiculously low price compared to what they would spend trying to obtain them themselves. And so I'm all into food. I'm all into herbs. You supplement with what you put in your mouth and chew. I am giving you your core nutritional needs. So if you want to eat a piece of cake, that's a supplement, to be honest with you. That's in addition to what you should do. But what you should do is have every nutrient your body craves and desires and needs from food each day. And that's what I provide people. You can also have herbs that specialize in helping adjust your hormones or your metabolism or your gut microbiome, and I specialize in that as well. But I do not like supplements. I do not believe in vitamin mineral supplements. I don't believe in those things. I think that they're false. They've been scientifically discredited, And while you can call me a supplement company because you have to categorize, you know, what I do, powders, pills, and tablets, that way, it absolutely is not supplementing. This is your core nutrition. You supplement with the other things you eat that are grossly inadequate to nourish your body. And that's what you eat for pleasure, for taste, for fun. Hopefully you keep it clean. But no, I don't provide supplements. I provide core nutrition, and I'm really serious about that.
So you said that you don't believe that we need sort of the macros and the vitamins and so forth. Can we get them through our diet directly from the ground? Or have we lost that ability in most cases?
Well, you can if you were a hunter-gatherer that was willing to spend 4 hours a day, the way Paleo Man did, to find a wide variety of very simple foods from your environment. But we don't do that. We go to the grocery store. Let's be real. I am the hunter-gatherer. I am the paleo. I am the one who goes out and finds those exotic, hard-to-find little bit of this, little bit of that, the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a whole bunch of this and a whole bunch of that. Our plate consists of four things. That's not the way we nourish our body.
So can we do it without using, you know, the products that you're prescribing, that you're selling, that you're suggesting for everybody? So we're talking about the greens, basically, the wheat grasses, the barley grasses.
Well, let's say that you tried to nourish your body in the most optimal way available on the planet. No, you could not. But could you substantially nourish your body? Absolutely. You could have a garden and you could grow asparagus and kale and you could grow cabbages and Brussels sprouts and you could grow spinach and all these wondrous, amazing things. So absolutely. And you could eat them fresh every day, grow them organically, ferment some of them for the winter time. Oh yeah, you could ferment some things. Like, it doesn't have to be yogurt, but it could be, you know, some fermented, you know, coconut or almond or whatever you want, and create some probiotic food for yourself. And oh yeah, if you take, like I just said, if you are willing to take 3 or 4 hours a day, you absolutely can. Now, will it include chlorella and spirulina and some exotic, you know, gigantina, you know, from Scotland, or some herbs from the Alps, or will it include, you know, some exotic thing from the Amazon rainforest, or from Ayurvedic, you know, herbs from India? Or no, it won't. It won't include, you know, white American ginseng or these exotic things that I bring to the table and make sure that they're of their purest, most potent form. But you can do it. You know, you can do it. But it just won't include some of those exotics that I talk about. And you might have to wildcraft a bunch of herbs, or maybe have an herb garden to grow some echinacea and some other things for yourself. But I know people who do it. So it absolutely is possible.
Mm-hmm. But it takes a whole lot of time. We are going to go to a quick break here, David. And then when we come back, I really want you to educate people on what the ugly part of the supplementing industry is, where we're being deceived. And I do have a couple of questions when we get back for you. So everybody, we will be back in a couple of minutes.
You turned away when I looked you in the eye, and hesitated when I asked if you were alright. Seems like you're fighting for your life, but why, oh why? Wide awake in the middle of your nightmare. You saw it coming, but it hit you out of nowhere. And there's always scars when you fall that far. We lose our way, we get back up again. It's never too late to get back up again. And one day, you won't shine again. You may be knocked down, but not out forever. We lose our way, we get back up again. So get up, you won't shine again. It's never too late to get back up again. You may be knocked down. Dawning of the day, heart racing as you made your little getaway. It feels like you've been running all your life, but why, oh why? So you pull away
the love that would have been there. And stop believing that your situation's unfair. But there's always scars when you fall. This is love calling. This is love calling. Love calling out to the broken. This is love calling. This is love calling. Love calling. I am so broken. This is love calling. Love calling. Lose our way.
You are listening to The Health Hub here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us and be a part of the show, please call 416-245-1534. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Kathy Biasi.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to David Sandoval about supplementation. David, I think we've laid the groundwork of where you see the value and the maybe the non-value of supplements. But I think we want to really drive home this point that you're passionate about is where people are being, in your opinion, misguided in the supplement world with their ability to change health, with the fillers perhaps that are in them. How do we navigate this?
Well, I think that what we need to do is to really get down to basics. So could I give you a single example of what I think is one of the greatest frauds perpetrated in the nutrition industry in history?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there was a gentleman named Albert Saint-Georges, and Albert Saint-Georges discovered that there was a disease called scurvy. And scurvy was a deficiency of something, but he didn't know what. Nobody knew what. But they called it the anti-scorbic factor that they were seeking out. They were seeking out this anti-scorbic factor that was missing in sailors and other people who were dying of scurvy. Over 1 million people a year were dying, and 10 times that many were suffering but not dying. And so this was a huge problem, an epidemic in a way. And they discovered, though, that if you ate peppers, if you ate oranges, if you ate potatoes, that you would not have this problem. So he wanted to find out what was in potatoes, what was in oranges, what was in peppers. And he then discovered what we now know as vitamin C, the anti-scorbic factor, or ascorbic acid, as it's now being called in the industry. But the vitamin C was the missing nutrient that allowed your body to then digest proteins and carbohydrates. And without it, your body could not digest protein and carbohydrates. So so you need a tiny amount of vitamin C, about 30 milligrams a day, up to 60 for busy days. But on most days, about 30 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And you got that from a typical half of a potato or an orange or a few peppers. As spice, and peppers were used as spice rather commonly back in those days. So this all having been said, the vitamin industry was discovered. They called this new thing a vitamin C, and then they began to sell it. And but it was very, very, very expensive to extract vitamin C, and it wasn't very stable. And so one of his assistants named Linus Pauling realized that you could take corn syrup and add hydrochloric acid, and it would become basically an antioxidant called, that they now call ascorbic acid. Now, this gets complicated, and I apologize, but this is the work I do to help you guys. So vitamin C has three parts. The middle part is the nutrient that your body needs that reverses scurvy. Along with that are something called bioflavonoids that help activate the vitamin C within your metabolism. So vitamin C and bioflavonoids are really useful together. They work together. Now, on the outside of that, consider the vitamin C the yolk. Consider the bioflavonoids the white part. And then on the hard outer shell is something to protect it, and that is an antioxidant called ascorbic acid. Now, you could take ascorbic acid all day long and never reverse scurvy. Yet, ascorbic acid made from genetically modified corn syrup and treated with hydrochloric acid is called ascorbic acid, but labeled vitamin C, and has been sold for billions of dollars of vitamin C, which is not vitamin C, has been sold to the public, which has zero nutrient vitamin C. If that's not a fraud, I don't know what is. The fact that it's now made from genetically modified corn makes it even more scary. Mm-hmm. But that is just one example of how I understand. Now, if you get my C from nature, I found that rose hips and acerola berries, which most people know about now, and also camu, and then an herb from India called Emblica officinalis, if you combine those five foods together, they actually make the perfect whole food form of vitamin C, which would reverse scurvy in a matter of days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between a supplement and a nutrient. And we're a nutrient company. We're not a supplement company.
Okay, so let's talk about the whole food form of nutrient distribution or supplement, whatever. I guess we have to sort of put it under the umbrella of supplementation, unless there's a better word. Yeah. There are lots of whole food supplement companies out there. Where is the danger in some of these companies that, you know, as soon as people see whole food, they're taking it to a class above sort of the nutrient pullouts of food? But where is the danger when we're looking at whole food supplements? Because definitely we have to know the sources.
So I'm really, really happy that more people are calling themselves or leaning into the terms organic. They're leaning into the terms plant-based. They're leaning into the terms. This is really good. This is a good thing. Now, where we have to worry is when you read labels. I'll give you another example. Everybody loves coconut oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't know the reason they love coconut oil is because it has caprylic acid and monolaurin. And monolaurin is this component that is only found in mother's milk. And it has the ability to trigger our antiviral, antifungal, anti-yeast, anti-mold reactions within our body. Okay, it's antiparasitic as well, but that's a different concept that does not change unless you heat it. So when you heat it, the caprylic acid actually is denatured. When you heat it, the monolaurin is denatured. And so the monolaurin, the caprylic acid, again, are then no longer in the coconut oil. Is it still a healthier cooking oil? Yes. Will it still help your body burn fat? Yes. But is it going to be and have the components of triggering your immune system? Is it going to have the antiviral components? Is it going to have the antiparasitic components? Well, the answer in most cases is no, because even though it says pure, virgin, raw on the label, they imported it from the Philippines, or they imported it from Thailand, or they imported it from Africa. And yes, it was virgin press when they got it. But how did they get it from the 55-gallon barrels that they receive it in when it's in hardened form and then put it into bottles? Well, they do that by heating it. They heat it and they put it through machines that have pipes that need to be kept warm in order to keep the coconut oil from hardening. And that heating of the coconut oil during the bottling of it means it's no longer raw. Okay? So now it no longer is going to have the content of caprylic acid and monolaurin that you might be expecting from it if you want to use it for those purposes that I described. And so you have to be very, very careful. Not all supplement labels mean the same. The same label, one label says virgin, organic, cold-pressed coconut oil. And it's sitting right next to another that says the same thing. Yet one of them, and only one of them in the whole world, is filled by hand, and that's ours.
Okay, I think we need to talk. We need to actually. I want you to really decipher that, because this is something that I did not know, and I guess I kind of feel stupid. But I think that this is okay. So if you've got coconut oil on the shelf,
and ours is in glass.
Sorry.
And ours is in glass, because coconut oil has the ability to pull stuff. It's like you put it in your mouth and you could do oil pulling.
Right.
It pulls toxins from your gums. And so you don't want oil to be in a plastic container, and so many of them are. But I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but I just want to let you know the extent of, I hate to say this, but the research that I've done and of the way that I apply that research into the quality of the food that I present to you every day. And it's not all the same, regardless of the label and people's best intentions, because not everybody is owned and not every company is owned by a single person who is the gatekeeper. And that gatekeeper is me.
So, David, just back to the coconut oil there. If it says raw coconut on the jar, has it still, is that the differentiating word? Or can the raw coconut oil, it's
not.
You're
not listening.
It's not.
You're not listening.
I am. I'm just trying to clarify here.
There is no law that demands that they dictate how it was filled, whether it was filled and it stopped being raw because of the heat in the filling. Look at the way most tablets are made with those super high compression things, microcrystalline cellulose, silica dioxide, magnesium stearate, and super high compression, which causes friction, which causes heat, which causes degradation of nutrients. And once you start to get degradation cascade, it's like when one part of a fruit gets rotten, the rest follows pretty quick. And so when you heat the outside of a tablet so hot because of the pressing of it, that it causes friction, which causes volatile oils to become rancid. And then you're eating a supplement with rancid, volatile oils that once was good for you. But now it has microcrystalline cellulose, which is made from petrochemicals. Now it has magnesium stearate, which is a toxin which could cause cancer. Magnesium stearate and microcrystalline cellulose and silica dioxide. This is a toxic soup inside of your nutritional supplements. You look at the, I could go on and on and on. I mean, I could talk all day about the additives, the binders, the fillers, the excipients, the preservatives, the flowing agents that are just everywhere in the supplement industry, even organic supplements, even whole food supplements. So you've got to be very careful about who you trust and what company you trust. And before we get done today, I want to talk about the flu real quick, but that's, you know, if we get the chance.
Well, you can talk about that right now, because what I want to do is give some space for you to talk about the Awaken Project, because I think that that's an important thing that I'd like people to know about. So let's talk about the flu that you'd like to get out, and then we'll go on to your new project.
Okay. It's important that you're listening to somebody, that you're trusting somebody who knows what they're talking about. So let's talk about the flu really quick. We hear about the Asian flu. We hear about the swine flu. We hear about the bird flu, but they're all the same. And here's the reason why. The flu comes from ponds of water that pigs feed in and defecate in. And ducks, which are grown or raised on the same farms then drink that water, and they poop in the water as well. And then their combination of their poop and the pig poop, and the pigs drink that water as well. And then in the throats of pigs, there is, it's exactly 98.9 degrees, just like the human body. So the throat of a pig becomes the perfect incubator for different viruses and bacteria that come from the feces of the ducks. And so the combination of swine saliva and duck poop makes what we know as the flu, the H1N1 and all that stuff that we call the flu. So the bottom line is that when they kill the pigs, the blood flows through the throat. That's the way that happens. And then that pig blood contains the flu virus. And then they oftentimes will, that pig blood will either splatter on somebody or it will get back on the meat or something. And then they take the meat to market, and the flu is then spread to people visiting from other countries who go to these small markets for tourist type of fun. So the bottom line is, without raising pigs and ducks together, we would never have the flu. Most people don't know that. Most people don't know that the flu is a recombinative virus, which means the same flu never occurs twice. Every year, it has recombined itself, mutated itself, and presented itself in such a way, it's like going to the bar and then not having your ID. So you go back, you put on a wig, you put on a mustache, and you come back and they let you in. It's like, you know, the virus just keeps combining itself until it's able to affect your body. And that's why taking, let's say, the flu shot may be absolutely, and in most cases is absolutely ineffective. So that having been said, thanks for listening. I created a product, by the way, called Immunomax, that is the number one thing that anyone should ever consider using for all the reasons that I understand what the flu is, how it reacts, and how your body fights it off. But that having been said, my number one passion today is this epidemic of autism. And I've started a 501c3 nonprofit so that I could educate and support the family, the entire family, in how to unleash the amazing potential and the beautiful thing that could come from autism and the children that are impacted by it. And so we say that autism doesn't so much need to be cured as it needs to be understood, and that the body does need to be healed. But the healing is not a cure. Autistic children need to be seen for the gifts that they truly are. Every time that nature alters itself, it's screaming for the acknowledgement that things need to change. And what needs to change right now is the toxicity of glyphosate in our environment. And so I believe that autism, Alzheimer's, autoimmune diseases are all caused by a toxic environment triggered by agricultural chemicals that are being identified. And we've created a product that is not specifically for autism. It is for detoxifying our gut microbiome, rebuilding our gut microbiome. And it just so happens that the mother's gut microbiome at birth is really important, and that the child's gut microbiome upon birth is really, really important, and protecting both is vitally important. And so I'm involved in a lot of things. If you check us out, you'll see that after doing radio in New York City, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, and year after year, I answered every health question from one of the most educated audiences on the planet. And as a result of that, I went out and created 54 products that I felt were going to fill in the gaps of all the pain and all the suffering that I saw out there. And I wanted to have answers to it. And those answers are found under this, you know, product company, yes. But it's not a company, it's a mission, it's a passion to give people access to the food they need to create the most abundant, incredible life that they could ever hope for.
That's wonderful.
And to do it, you know, right now.
I want to I want to make sure that I include the website for the Awakenings Project Retreats, and it is actually theawakenprojectretreats.org. Also, you can find more about David and Purim Health on his Facebook page, which is Facebook My Purim. You can find out more about David.
It's Purim. It's Purim, not Purim. Purim is a Jewish holiday.
Purim.
P-U-R-I-U-M. Sorry, but people are not going to. Yeah. They're going to be very confused.
Yeah, we'll put this up for everybody, and you know, everyone knows how to contact us to get the information. Also, Dave's Facebook page, which is Dave Sandoval Purim, P-U-R-I-U-M, and his personal page, which is Pure Love Light Song. Is that correct?
It is.
Perfect. Okay. So I really appreciate all the time and you having to do this while you're driving in bad weather. So thank you so much for being on the show, David. And I wish you all the best with your projects. You're doing wonderful things for this world. So thank you very much. And everybody, we will talk to you next week on The Health Hub.
Have been listening to The Health Hub, hosted by Kathy Biasi, here on Radio Maria Canada.